Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another day of praise, another opportunity the Lord has granted me to, praise God, to come and to share with you the word that the Lord has placed upon my heart since the last time we met. Praise God. Today is Monday. Monday, beautiful day. Been a beautiful day. Praise God. October 24th in the year of 2022. Praise God, and I'm Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God, once again, declaring unto you that Jesus Christ is the answer. Praise God, to all of our problems, doesn't matter how large. Praise God, how small, how complex they may be to you. Praise God, our God is able. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ever can conceive in our heart and mind. Praise God, if we had only put our trust in Him. Praise God. That's all the Lord asks, just trust in Him. Amen. Praise God. But I do have a word. I have a word from the Lord just for you. You that are tuned in to this broadcast. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Praise God. Paul's letter to the believers. His first letter to the believers at Corinth. Turn with me. Praise God. And again, I do encourage you to look with me, to jot down the scriptures and go back later on and look at them and get a praise God. I believe God will give you a more in-depth understanding of these words if you will, praise God, show a diligence about wanting to know more about God's word. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to begin, we're going to look at just two verses here. And this is going to be part one of a series. Praise God. Part one of a series. I know, I'm assured that there'll be a second part. Now, beyond that, I don't know how far we'll go, but we're going to use the same text, the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. We're going to use these scriptures throughout this series. Praise God, because God has put His word upon my heart, and praise God, I do want to share it with you today. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. Praise God. And it reads, praise God. And I, brethren, Paul said, I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let me read that again. Praise God. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, first two verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, praise God, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's about it for a word of prayer. Father, I bless you. Thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity that you allow this unworthy vessel, Lord, to speak and proclaim your good tidings. Lord, our God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might move before me, Lord, and speak these same words to your people that you've spoken in my spirit. Now, Lord, I pray, Father God, that they might be enlightened, hearts might be touched, and Lord, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, we'll give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to take our thought, part one, in this series. Like I say, we pretty sure to be part two. Beyond that, we can't say at this point here, because we're going to have to take it and go as the Spirit of God leads and guide us. But now, verse two again, Paul said, I am determined not to know anything among you, except save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's our subject throughout the series. We're going to use the same subject, Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Paul said that is all that I'm interested in knowing and relaying unto you. Praise God that he was born and he died and he rose again. Praise God in order that we might be saved. We might be forgiven of our sins. But now, when I was led by the Spirit of the Lord to start this podcast, and then now, I guess it's been a couple of years now, this particular podcast, praise God, this scripture here stood out in my mind, very vividly, it stood out in my mind, prompting me to entitle this podcast, Jesus is the answer. And to focus upon Christ, praise God, and the salvation message that he brings to us. And praise God, this I have done. I have done since the birth of this podcast, and I'll continue to do so. Amen. Praise God. But now, the Apostle Paul here, praise God, wonderful servant of God, he was used of God to write most, the majority of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Amen. And his message is not what we are hearing in the church today. The message that he relayed during his time is very opposite of what we're hearing today. See, today we hear messages on prosperity, mostly on prosperity and blessings and healings, praise God, which it was not the main focus of Paul's gospel message, not at all, amen, and should not be so today, not really, if we are really called of God as ministers. Now, again, what we're hearing today is another gospel, which Paul said is not another. There's not another. Praise God. As a matter of fact, he said, if any man bring any other gospel unto you than that gospel which I preached unto you, then let him be accursed. Paul said, let him be accursed. A curse be upon him. Praise God for that. Now, but there is something today that's been passed off as another gospel, which only focus on the distribution of abundant life to the hearers. Praise God. Before they have obtained the life of Christ. They have been promised abundant life, but not yet have they experienced the life of Christ. Praise God. That's what they're promising them. Praise God. Abundant life. And they hadn't even been born again. Many hadn't even been saved. Right? But they've been promised all of these things before they are part of the family of God, officially brought in by the Spirit of God into the family of God. That been made all kind of promises have been made to many that are in the church today. But now, the Apostle Paul, in this letter, he makes it very plain that his work for the Lord is not a product of human learning. He makes that very plain. Not human learning or any wisdom that has been obtained in the schools of his day. Praise God. But now, let's keep in mind now, during Paul's time, the influence of Greek culture and philosophy, it had spread throughout the known world. Praise God. It had taken the world by storm. So Paul wanted to make it plain that he wasn't a part of that crowd of orators, you know, that stood in the town square reciting poetry and flowery speeches while saying nothing at the same time. He wanted to make it plain that I'm not of that group. Praise God. But now, if we look down at that same 1 Corinthians 2, look at down at 4 there. Look at verse 4 and 5. Let's look at that. Paul says, and my speech, 4 and 5, look on down, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your genuine faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Not the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. See, today much of our preaching, and it's sad, I'm sad to have to say this, but it's true, much of our preaching is described by Paul as just nothing but, praise God, sounding brass, I think, and tinkling cymbals. That's a bunch of noise, delivered by very clever motivational speakers. And who are very gifted with the gift of gab? I give them credit for it. These guys can rap. They can lay it down. They have the gift of gab. But they cater to the stirring up of the flesh that's in mankind. And they understand. They know that. They know the psychology of dealing with the flesh. So they stir up the flesh more than the killing of the flesh, which is what the Bible, what Paul advocates in his letters. They that are of the flesh cannot please God. But now, you've got motivational speakers today. What they're doing with their flowery speech, they are promoting the flesh. They are giving power and strength to the flesh. But now, Paul believed that the call of God into the ministry was the most important work to which a man could undertake. He believed that, praise God. He also believed that no man has a right to assume this position Huh? No, not on his own, but only those that are called of God. Now, Paul believed that. Called of God, not by man, not even by the will of man, praise God, but only by the will of God. Hmm? Praise God. And we see that. We see that in, praise God, his letters to the Hebrews. If you look at Hebrews 5, or jot it down, praise God, Hebrews 5, look at 4. Paul, did he believe very wholeheartedly that man can't take this responsibility upon himself just because you feel like God calling you. When God called you, you'll know God calling you. Look at Hebrews 5 and 4. Paul says, and no man take this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Hmm? Moses, brother Aaron, you don't just voluntarily call yourself, praise God. In other words, you got to be called of God, as was Aaron called to assist Moses. And we understand that, and we know about that. But now, we must understand, though, that whether it's a call to salvation, or whether it's a call into the ministry, God do not take any volunteers. No, God don't. You don't volunteer for this. God don't take volunteers. There must be an official call and an invitation from heaven to earth, to you, in which God extends to his people. Praise God. There must be an invitation and a call before one can join the family of God. But thank God, he's calling people. He's calling his people every day. That's a great commission. Go ye therefore into all the world. Praise God. Preach his gospel. God said, through this word, I'm going to call my people. He's calling people, but you must be called. He takes no volunteers. Your mother can't commission you to preach. Your father can't commission you to preach. Huh? You must be called of God. But now, and to faithfully discharge his duties to God and the church. The church who called him was more important to Paul than even his own life. This call was important to Paul. He had to defend his call many times because he wasn't really accepted. Praise God, he wasn't really accepted. Now, it was important to Paul more so than his own life because it's a rare thing. It's a rare attitude among ministers today to really value that call and the seriousness and he dedicated himself to this work that God had called him to do. He had a servant's heart. Paul had a servant's heart, dedicated to serving the Lord and serving the Lord's people, regardless of what happened to him in the process. He set his heart steadfast, set his face like a flint, that he was going to do God's work, regardless of what come upon him. And I like that passage in the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts, and like I say, write this down if you have problems finding scripture. Look at the book of Acts. I like the attitude of Paul when he knew that he was facing danger, but praise God, the calling was more important than the danger that he was facing. Go to Acts 20 and look at 22. Acts 20 and 22. Paul says here in 22, and now behold, he said, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except, verse 23, except that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I love that 24th verse, but none of these things. Paul said, none of these things move me. Praise God. They lay in waiting for me to kill me. None of these things move me, neither shall I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Praise God, in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things, he said, move me. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was committed to the Apostle Paul, it was to him like a great treasure, like that great treasure the Bible speaks about, to be given to those that are called by God, called of God. Not for his own personal benefit, not a treasure, not him the prophet to get rich off of this gospel. It wasn't for personal benefit, not to gain wealth and worldly honor. It wasn't like that with Paul, as it is the agenda. What a great majority of these preachers today. Am I right about that? Come on. But now, the God that called the Apostle Paul, he made it very clear what the path going forward would be for him, what he would have to face. See, God, count the cost. Praise the Lord, say count the cost. He don't send us on this battlefield without letting us know exactly what we might be facing. Praise God. God showed Paul, going forward exactly what he would have to deal with. Praise God. Not only him, but all God's ministers, called ministers. God let us know, there's a price to be paid. I may call upon you, amen, to pay the ultimate price for your witnessing and for your standing firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the opposition of the world that hates God today. Amen. Praise God. Paul knew it. Look at Acts 9 then. Let me see. God let him know that exactly what was coming forward for him if he was going to preach the word of God. And I love it. It still stands today. Acts 9 and 16. 9:16. There it is. Look what the Lord said to Paul. For I will show him. He said, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show you, Paul, how great things you must suffer for my name's sake. I'm going to show you. Praise God. See, and most true born again believers, most of us are suffering in some degree or another throughout the world today. May not be physical, but it could be family, it could be separation, it could be a number of things on your job because you're a Christian. But Paul, the Lord told Paul, I'm going to show you just what involved here in being a disciple of Christ. Praise God. But now, most true born, born again Christians, believers, praise God, we're suffering to some degree. Ain't no doubt about that. And if we're standing firm on God's word like we should, and not like some of these compromisers out here, praise God, then we will have to suffer some type of persecution. Praise God. The compromisers, they ain't got to worry. Praise God. The world loves its own. Oh, God. They love the fist straddlers. That, well, you know, this is the way I feel. It don't matter how you feel. Praise God. It's what God's word says. And your feeling has nothing to do with anything. If you're a believer, you'll stand on the word of God. You'll stand firm on God's word. You don't care how you feel, honey. That's probably something you hate. You know, tell them about your feelings. Don't inject your feelings into the conversation. Praise God. But compromisers, you'll be accepted by the world because the world loves their own. Amen. But now God called ministers. I'm talking about God called ministers. Called according to Paul, we're called to feed the flock of God. Praise God. Which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers. See, the Holy Ghost made us overseers. That's what the Bible says here. Praise God. And we're to be overseers to feed them, not to fleece. Fleece the sheep. You don't fleece the sheep. You feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. Amen. Not to fleece the church of God for 50 lucre. A lot of that going on today. Or to have dominion over God's heritage. Praise God. But to what? Feed them with the sincere milk of God's word. Praise God. That's the word of God. Amen. But now, again, in our text now, back at 1 Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians 2. And go down to verse 5. Now, listen to verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2. Praise God in verse 5. Paul says here in verse 5 that your faith, praise God. In other words, I didn't come with flowery speeches, trying to puff you up in the flesh, trying to make you go ooh and ah. He's such a great speaker. He's such a great orator. Paul said, no, I didn't come. But I came, number 5, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, this gospel we preach, praise God, is a great mystery. Oh, hallelujah. It's a great mystery. And to the unsaved or to the natural man, it is just plain old foolishness. Praise God. He cannot know it. I don't care how good you present it to him. The best presentation in the world can go forth to put forth. You can bring the most articulate speaker in the world to bring this word. But man's word alone cannot reveal God's word and God's person in Jesus Christ to that person. Not man. Man cannot do it. Man cannot do it. Man cannot produce faith in the hearts of men. Praise God. It takes God's anointed word to do that. Praise God. See, this knowledge in faith only comes by way of direct revelation. Direct revelation from God to us. By his spirit. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go on down. Stay in 1 Then Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8 now. Praise God. Paul says in verse 7 there, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't revealed to them. They didn't know it. Like many of you, you don't know. You know about Jesus Christ, but you don't really know him. You hadn't had that close encounter with him. Praise God, I know Martin Luther King. I know of him, but I don't know him. Praise God, and that's the same manner that many of you know Jesus Christ. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 again, 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, he says, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, the kind of faith produced in the hearts and minds of many today in our churches are very similar to that same kind of faith that came forth as the people saw the miracles of Christ. That faith that was produced in the minds of those people that followed Christ, the Jewish people, they believed, yes, that he was a great man. The works that he performed, how can you not believe he was a great man? Some even say that, well, he's one of those prophets that rose up. Well, Elijah, one of them prophets that rose up. They thought he was a great prophet or a great man. They admitted to that. But that's not real faith, though. Huh? But now when Christ said to them that he was the Son of God, when Christ said he was the only way, there's no way to come to the Father but through me. When he said that, then the tone changed. He's a blasphemer. And they attempted to stone him, attempted to kill him, meaning that what they had was a worldly faith, a rational faith. That's all they had, which would not allow them to accept Christ as God, as the Son of God, as the only way to the Father. They couldn't accept that. See, this kind of faith comes only by way of special revelation. You don't have enough money to get it. You can't buy it. The prestige of this world cannot warrant you to have this special revelation. It comes from God as he see fit to reveal it. Amen. It comes only by special revelation from God by his Spirit. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go on down to 9. We're going on down the line. 1 Corinthians 2, we're looking at 9 right now. Verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen. I have not seen. Ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed, that is, revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man? Except the spirit of man that's within him. And even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but about the Spirit of God. Now, we, God's people, the true believer, we have received not the spirit of the world. No. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, praise God. Amen. But, you know, my question to you today is this. Have you by direct revelation, or direct revelation, have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Has God, by his Spirit, revealed to you your need of deliverance from sin and from the bondage of sin? Has it been revealed to you? See, it's not something that man can teach you. It's just not, it's not possible. It's not anything that science that we trust so much today. Science can't help you here. Praise God. Look at Luke 10. What did Christ says here? Praise God. Look at Luke. Paul said, I don't want to know anything. When I came among you, I had no desire to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Praise God. That's the key. That's the key right there. Look what Paul says, Jesus says in Luke 10 there. Let's find Luke 10, 22. What did Jesus say there? Luke 10 and 22, Jesus said, all things, praise God, are delivered to me of my Father. And no man know who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Praise God. Amen. Revelation, it has to be revealed to you. You're not smart enough. You're not brilliant enough. It doesn't matter how much education you may have. If God don't reveal it to you, you'll never know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you can, though. Oh, praise God. That's a good news. I'm not just a bearer of bad news. There's good news here. Look at Ephesians, Paul. Paul letter to the Ephesians. Believers there at Ephesus. Look at 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 4. He said, what about when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, verse 5, was not made known, was not revealed to the sons of men in ages, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his spirit. There's a revelation. See, like the apostle Paul. Praise God. I did not receive this gospel, this understanding that I have of God's word. And I'm not saying I have it all, not by any stretch of the imagination, but now I did not receive this gospel of this knowledge of Christ from man. Zero. But by direct revelation from God, God come to me in by his spirit and spoke to me. Activated my spirit. Praise God. Amen. And like Paul, when I began this podcast here, almost a couple of years probably, I was instructed by the Holy Spirit to preach Christ only. Christ only. Christ and him crucified. Because this is the word. This is the word for this hour that must be spread abroad throughout the whole world, throughout this sinful nation, America, that we live in today. See, it's through Christ's victory on the cross, through his resurrection, that we're saved, through our faith, and in the resurrection of Christ, praise God, that we're saved. You see, and if only you that I'm talking to you, if only you would wholeheartedly seek his forgiveness today. He promised, praise God, to reveal himself to you. To you. Praise God. He promised God, not a man that he should lie. Praise God. What God says, hey, praise God, God will do without a shadow of a doubt. You see, there are those that today that they want to pass out blessings to people. Blessings to people that does not really belong to them. See, Jesus said there are blessings for his children. He calls it the children's bread. He says it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it unto dogs. Huh? That means those that are not in the family of God. But you have people today that they are promising people blessings that belong to somebody else. In other words, I guess you're set up a black market here or something. There's a black market or something. In other words, what they're doing, they're promising people blessings. Matter of fact, they commit a crime against the high court in heaven because you're trying to promise people that are not God's people blessings that only belong to God's people. And you make no stipulations. You make no stipulations that you must be born again. You must be a child of God. But no, they lay it out. They promise people blessings. Of course, they get their blessings off the top, don't they? The people bring and pay them for the blessings and they got to wait until their blessings come. But there's a crime against the high court in heaven. Praise God. To take something. It's stealing. It's actually stealing. And you people, you're buying a blessing that don't belong to you. Because if you're not a saved child of God, then the blessings is not yours. Praise God. But that's the message today. That's the message today that have gone out throughout this land. And many people have bought into this message. Praise God. Many people. Amen. But now, you that are unsaved, praise God, you that I'm speaking to at this very moment, I believe that the Lord, he is speaking to you right now, right this very second. Praise God. If you would seek the Lord with your whole heart today, right now, praise God. God promised that he revealed himself to you. And praise God, you won't have to worry about receiving bootleg blessings. You can receive what is rightfully yours when you repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you. And he promised that he would. He promised that he will. And I know that God is not a man that he should lie. What God has promised, God will deliver. Praise God. We have only to trust in him. Praise God. And it's my prayer today that you do just that, that you bow your head and you ask God for forgiveness, ask God to receive you into the family of God, and He will do exactly that. Let's bow here for a word of prayer. Father, I bless you today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the opportunity. Once again, you're giving me to share your word with your people. Now, Lord, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that person that you have ordained to hear this word, Father, I've done my part. Lord, I've been obedient to your word. I put it out there. Now, Lord, I pray by your spirit, Lord, that you'll draw and bring some soul into the family of God. And Lord God, I'll be so mindful to give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank God for Jesus. Now, if you like this word from the Lord, I want you to, praise God, hit that like button. And then I want you to, praise God, hit that subscribe over there so that we can, when we come back again with this part two, we know now God's will, that is God's will, that we come with part two. Now, it may be many parts beyond that. I don't know. We're going to take it as the Spirit of the Lord moves upon me. But He's already began to give me something for the part two. But now, I pray that you will use this podcast, this message, and if you have any kind of vehicle that you can use to transfer this word and do what God called us to do, you that are a believer right now, praise God, to pass this word on that somebody might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're partner with me. Not money, don't need no money, praise God. Just pass the word on that somebody, the Holy Spirit, can use this word to convict, to convince, and to bring some soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. But until we come again, praise God, and maybe tomorrow, praise God, it just depends on how God deals with me between this time and between tomorrow at this same time, praise God. But we'll bring you another part two of this message, praise God. Christ, Jesus Christ, Him and Him only, no other knowledge, no other person, nothing else, nobody else is important, but the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Until that time, may God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer today. Amen.